ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट नंबर 30 वेद वादरतो न स्यान् पाषण्डीना हैतुका शुष्कवादविवादेन काश्चित् पक्षां समाश्रयेत् वेदवादरतो न स्यान् पाषण्डीन हैतुका शुष्कवादविवादेन कश्चित् पक्षां समाश्रयेत् वेदवादरतो न स्यान् पाषण्डीन हैतुका शुष्कवादविवादेन काश्चित् पक्षं समाश्रयेत् वेदवाद इन द कर्मकाण्ड सेक्शन ऑफ द वेदास Rataha engaged. Now, never, syat, should be. Na, nor, Pashandi, atheistic acting against Vedic injunctions. Na, nor, Haituka, a mere logician. Or skeptic, Shushkavada of useless topics, Vivade in arguments, Na never, Kanchit any, Paksham side, Samashrayet should take. Translation, a devotee should never engage in the fruity rituals mentioned in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, nor should he become atheistic, acting or speaking in opposition to Vedic injunctions. Similarly, he should never speak like a mere logician, or skeptic, or take any side whatsoever in useless arguments. Please repeat. A devotee should never engage in fruity rituals. Mentioned in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. Nor should he become atheistic, acting or speaking in opposition to Vedic injunctions. Similarly, he should never speak like a mere logician or skeptic or take any side whatsoever in useless arguments. Purport. Although a Paramahamsa devotee conceals his exalted position, Certain activities are forbidden even for one trying to conceal himself. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in the name of concealment, one should not become a ghost. The word Pashanda refers to atheistic philosophies opposing the Vedas such as Buddhism. And Haituka refers to those who accept only that which can be demonstrated by mundane logic or experimentation. Since the whole purpose of the Vedas is to understand that which is beyond material experience, a skeptic's so-called logic is irrelevant to spiritual progress. Srila Jiva Goswami warns us in this regard that a devotee should not read atheistic literature, even with the purpose of refining arguments against atheism. Such literature should be entirely avoided. The above-mentioned prohibited activities are so detrimental to the advancement of Krishna consciousness that they should not be adopted even as a superficial show. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So what are we learning here? Who is speaking here? To who? Anybody knows? Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, one of the greatest devotees of Lord Krishna is Uddhava. And Lord Krishna is speaking directly to Uddhava, and through Uddhava he is also speaking to all of us. In the previous verses, Lord Krishna is instructing us to avoid the sense enjoyers and not become contaminated by the three modes of material nature. The sense enjoyers specifically, he was mentioning previously, but now he is going forward. And these are instructions that Lord Krishna is giving even to the Paramhamsa, the greatest devotee. What he should avoid, what he should not do, or what kind of association he should not have. Even the greatest devotee, how he should be careful about these things. So you can imagine how important these instructions are for us who are just now trying to become devotees of Krishna. They are very relevant instructions, as much as they are relevant to the highest class of devotees. They also apply to, more they apply to us. So who are these people that we should avoid 100% of the time? First is mentioning Veda Vada Rata Nasyat. Don't go to the Veda Vada Rata people. Who are these Veda Vada Rata people? Karma Kandi people. Lord Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 42, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Aparita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhau Navidhiyate Bhogaishwarya Prasakta. These are the people who are absorbed in Bhoga, Aishwarya. I want big house, I want big car, I want beautiful wife, I want lots of money, etc., etc. I go to temple and I ask the Lord, my dear Lord, if you give me $10,000, I give you $1. So that is that a business transaction? Even if it is a business, is it a fair business transaction? I give you $1, you give me 10,000. So why Lord Krishna has to accept that kind of proposal? People, they ask like this. Does he need your $1? He has the whole world. He's the owner of the whole material world. And he says, I'm not even interested. I have created this whole material creation, but I have zero interest in it. I don't want anything out of it. He has created the whole spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets, the Golokdham, Vrindavan, everything. And he's very happy with his devotees in Golokdham. So why does he care for your $1 and you are asking 10,000 in return? So this is the definition of Bhogaishwarya Prasakta. Aparita Chetasam. Their Chetasa, their intelligence is kidnapped. They have no intelligence because of this Samadhav Navidiyate. Because of their intelligence is many branch, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, Samadhav Na Vidiyate. They cannot become fixed up, focused and determined in performing devotional service to Krishna because their intelligence is going here and there and everywhere and they cannot figure out what is the purpose of human form of life. But in text number 244, he says, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahu Shakha Anantascha Buddhayo Vyavasayana. That you should be focused in your intelligence, Vyavasayatma Ekeha. Focus your intelligence in serving my lotus feet, Lord Krishna says. Just focus on one thing, how to become a pure devotee of Krishna. If your intelligence becomes many branch and you try to achieve so many things in the material world, Buddha Vyavasayana, then you will be a failure. You will not be able to attain anything in life. And you will be frustrated. There is also another description Lord Krishna gives in 242 about these people, Karmakandi people that are described here in this verse, Vedavadarata. Yam imam pushpitam vacha pravadanti vipaschita Vedavadarata partha nanyad astiti vadina. What is the quality of this Vedavadarata people that Lord Krishna himself is describing? Yam imam pushpitam. They are attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas. There are certain sections in Vedas where you are given the temptation to achieve the higher planets, to go to the higher planets by performing the karmakanda rituals. So those who are attracted by this kind of flowery language, they become avipaschita. They become totally useless people. And they think, they come to the conclusion that there is nothing beyond this attainment of the Swargaloka. I will go to the heavenly planet and I'll enjoy with the apsaras. That is the purpose of my performing all these rituals. So they become convinced. You find thousands and thousands of people, you may be surprised, but if you go to India, you find hundreds and thousands of people like this. They are convinced like that. Vedavadarata. So Lord Krishna, he is rejecting this kind of philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he says, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Sakali, Vishera Banda, Amrita Bolia, Jeba Khai, नाना योनि भ्रमण करे कदर या भक्षण करे तार जन्मे अधपात. दैट इफ समबडी बिकम्स अट्रैक्टेड बाय कर्म कांड फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज, somebody becomes attracted by jnana kanda, the speculative knowledge, then what is his destination? He will be forced to take birth again and again in very low class species of life. Nana yoni brahmana kare. And he has to eat unmentionable food. Kadarya bhakshan kare. He has to eat nonsense food. Tar janma, and his birth is adhapat, is going down, downward. He is not making progress. He may be thinking, I am making progress, I am becoming more civilized. But actually, he is digging his own hole by getting into this Vedavadrata, karma, kriya, karma kanda and jnana kanda. So, that is one group of people. He is saying, avoid these people by any means. Don't go near them. Don't listen to them. Who are the other second class of people that Lord Krishna is mentioning here? Pashandi. So, these Pashandi are the atheistic class of people. What are they saying? There is no God, there is no soul, there is nothing. After death, there is nothing. So what do you do if there is no God, there is no soul? And you are a bunch of chemicals, you are this body. They are convinced like this and they try to convince people like that. You know many of them. Do you know any of them who are like that? Atheistic class of people who are propagating this kind of philosophy. Yes, Prabhu. Some of them, they get the Nobel Prize, Nobel Laureate, etc. Or they may become great in the society. They may be acclaimed by so many awards. But Lord Krishna, he says, avoid these people who are propagating atheism, that there is no God. Because the end result will be that instead of attaining the unlimited happiness, instead of attaining your Swarup Siddhi, your spiritual form, Satchidananda Vigraha, you will be attaining very dark future if you follow this kind of atheistic people, because their mentality is also defined by Krishna in text number 326 in Bhagavad Gita, third chapter. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasva ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Kartaham, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the most powerful man, I am God, etc., etc. So you find, if you go to India, there are so many gods, incarnations, you will find them on the streets, loitering. Some of them are in jail, prison house, because they committed crimes, atrocities. So they are put in jail. So this is the problem with this class of people, that Krishna says they are vimudatma. Muda means very grateful, and vimuda means vishesh prakarena, extremely foolish person. He is thinking like that I am the doer. Prakriti is doing everything. Prakriti kriyamana, the three modes of material nature are acting. You know what happened just a couple of days back in Northern California? There was a big forest fire. 15 people got killed day before yesterday. I don't know the latest right now. How many? So many houses, properties got burnt to ashes. big fire, they're trying to contain it. The government is trying, struggling. They can't. Forest fire. Prakriti, this is material nature throwing all these calamities, disasters. Every week there is a new disaster. Something bad is happening, people are getting killed. Still, some people, they like to think that I am God and I am the enjoyer. How you are the God? How can you control? You can't control material nature. You can't control anything. How can you claim that you are God and you are incarnation, etc.? So Lord Krishna is saying that these are foolish people. Avoid them. Don't go near them. Don't listen to them. Then the third class of people that he's mentioning here are the tarkic logicians. The false logicians, they make arguments. Tarko pratishtha shrutayo vibhinna nasasti muniyasya matirna bhinna dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajanayena gata sapanta. If you take the highway, you want to reach your destination, you want to go from here to New York or from Chicago to New York, what do? You open your iPhone and Google Map and you put your destination, and the Google Map will give you directions exactly which highway, which freeway to take. So you follow the directions. Even the Google knows that how you can achieve your destination, and they have figured it out as far as the maps are concerned. So if somebody says, I don't want to follow, I want to take exit, I want to find my own way, he ends up in a jungle, jungle roads, jungle streets. Will he be able to reach New York? Very difficult. He'll have to, it might take him very long time even to again come out of the jungle. Once you are lost in the jungle, it's very difficult. You can go in circle and circles and circles. So, this is the same thing that the logicians, they create confusion, illusion for you. They make false arguments and confuse you so that you don't reach your destination. That is their purpose. If you follow a skeptic or a logician, this is what's going to happen. You'll be in a jungle, deep down, dark jungle. You can't find your way out. This is, therefore, here says, dharmasya tattvam nihitam, the real dharma. What is real dharma? It is stored in the heart of the great people, great authorities, the disciplic succession. Mahajanayena gata sapa. Follow the disciplic succession. Follow the bona fide spiritual master. Follow the acharya, acharya upasana. Lord Krishna, he is saying, how do you follow? Acharya mam vijaniyam nava manyeta karhichit. Na buddhyasuyet sarva deva mayo guru. Know me as the acharya. Acharya and myself, Krishna says, we are non-different. Don't make any difference between me and the bona fide spiritual master. And don't neglect his instruction. Follow his instructions properly. And don't insult him or think bad about him. Don't think of him as an ordinary conditioned soul. Nava manyeta karhichit. Never make this mistake. Very specifically, Lord Krishna is giving these instructions in Bhagavatam. Why? Because sarva deva mayo guru. Your guru has all the devas, they are included in his body. You worship him like you worship me, Krishna says. Sarva deva mayo guru. So, these are the Vedic injunctions which The logicians, they don't want to follow, and they don't want you to follow the Vedic injunction. What is the Vedic injunction? Athatu Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have the human form of life. What you should do? Brahma Jigyasa. Who am I? What is my true nature? What is my identity? Who is the Supreme Absolute Truth? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Brahma Sutras, the Upanishad, they tell us, my dear Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth. Janmadi Asya Yataha, everything is coming from me. Satyam Param Dhimahi, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth. I worship you, my dear Lord Krishna. So that is the Brahma Sutras, that is the Upanishad, that is the Vedaischa Sarvai Ahameva Vedyo, Vedanta Kritved Videva Chaham. Lord Krishna says, 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that the purpose of all the Vedas is, Vedic knowledge is, to know me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhav samanvita. Krishna says in 10th chapter, text number 9, I am the origin of everybody and everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. And I am running the whole show. Everybody is maintained by me. Matta sarvam pravartate. All the incarnations are coming from me. All the energies are coming from me. I'm the creator of the spiritual world and the creator of the material world. Krishna is saying, and he's proving that also by showing his universal form in the 11th chapter. So, who understands? These are the most intelligent people, Buddha, Bhava, Samanvita, and they immediately worship me with love and affection. The intelligent people, they worship Lord Krishna after knowing him as the Samam Bonam, as the Supreme Absolute Truth. So, this is the result of following the Vedic injunctions. Whereas, these three classes of people, they don't want to follow. Tarkic, logicians, the Vedavada Rata, the Karma Kandi people, and the Pashandi people, the atheistic class of people. The Buddhist people and the Mayavadis are also included in this. Mayavadis, you know about them. There are plenty of them nowadays because of the Kali Yuga influence. They also take advantage of the Vedic literature and try to prove that there is no God and you can become God. Or some of them, Shunyavadi, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, some of them they say that the purpose of life is to become desireless and destroy your individuality and merge into the totality, or merge into the Brahman effulgence, the light that is coming. Where is this light coming from? Krishna says, Brahmanohi pratishta aham. This Brahman effulgence is coming from me, from my spiritual body, from my spiritual abode. This light, Brahman, is coming. So why don't you come to the spiritual abode? Why don't you become the devotee? But the Mayavadi says, no. Krishna, when he comes to the material world, he also becomes like us, like an ordinary man. How can I follow Krishna? How can I worship Krishna? He's just a regular, ordinary man. So Krishna says, these are the Vimuda people. They do not know how I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How I'm creating everybody, how I'm maintaining everybody. They have no idea. And they want to prove themselves and they want to merge into some totality or they want to merge into the light. So Krishna says, avoid this kind of people, the Shunyavadi and Mayavadi. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says same thing. Mayavadi bhasha sunile hoy sarvanash. If you want to destroy yourself completely, go to these Mayavadis. They'll give you the special formula how to destroy yourself. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, don't hear them. Mayavadi bhasya sunile sarvanash. And Rupa Goswami says also, jana sangascha laulam cha shadvir bhakti vinashyati. If you want to destroy your devotional service, you go to these people. They're expert in destroying you. Jana sangha. Utsaha nishyat dhairyat tatat karma sangatyagat. Also he says sangatyagat. Give up the association of bad people and associate with the good people, satovritte. Associate with the sadhus, with the saintly personalities. Associate with the pure devotees. Don't associate with these kind of people that are mentioned by Krishna here in this particular verse that we are studying today. Because the spiritual realm is not available through these people. The spiritual realm is only available in the association of good company, in the company of the sadhus. Spiritual realm is available in the lotus feet of the spiritual master, the bona fide spiritual master. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriye Shri Sevan Mukhehi Jivvadav Swayam Eva Spurutyada. If you want Lord Krishna's holy name, if you want Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you can try and try for the whole lifetime, 100 years, or lifetime after lifetime. But na bhaved grahyam. You cannot grab it by your senses, by your mind. No. It is not available. How it can be available? Sevan Mukhe. By serving, service attitude. You serve the pure devotees, you serve the holy name. Then, Swayam Eva Spuratya, then Krishna manifests himself in his holy name. Swayam Eva Spurati Adaha. Therefore, we follow these instructions specifically given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarem. Kavitam va jagadish kamae mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhai bhakti ahaitu kitvai. That I don't want all these things in the material world. What do I want? I only want your causeless devotional service birth after birth. Mama janmani janmani ishvare. My dear Lord, this is my prayer. Ai nanda tanuja king karam patitam mam vishame bhavam budau. Kripaya tava pada pankajasthita duli sadrisham vichinta. My dear Lord, I'm fallen in this horrible, miserable material world. And I don't know how I can get out of this. You please help me and put me at your lotus feet as a dust particle. So this is our request. We, the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they follow his instructions, these 8 instructions that he's giving. And by following these instructions, we can attain the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Because what is the quality of the devotee that is mentioned by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sikshashtakam prayers? That he does not want anything for himself. Nothing at all. What does he want? He only wants to make Krishna happy. How I can do some service that will make Krishna happy? That is his only desire. That is his only mantra. That is his only mission. Just like right now, we are, every day we pray Damodar Ashtakam prayer. So what is Mother Yashoda, what does she want? She says, I don't want anything. I have only one desire, how I can make Krishna happy. How I can make some nice arrangement for Krishna. That is the only thing in her mind, in her consciousness. So, we learn from these great devotees, and especially we learn from Srila Prabhupada, how to serve Krishna, how to serve the holy name of Krishna and avoid this kind of people, the three different kind of people that are mentioned in this verse. So I will stop here. If you have any questions or comments, please pick up the microphone and you can present your comment. Will be highly appreciated. You can present your question. Anything you like to say about this verse today? It's a very important verse because there are three kinds of people: Veda, Vada, Rata, Pashandi, and Shushka, Hetuka. The dry speculators, the atheistic people, and the Karmakandi people, they have to be rejected. That is the injunction, that is the instruction of Lord Krishna here. And he says that the highest devotee, even he should not go near these people. What to speak of the ordinary devotees like us, or we're trying to become a devotee of Krishna. We should be very extremely careful not to have the wrong kind of association of the bad people should be avoided by all means, and only associate with the good people. So when we are ready, we can start the discussion. Yes, Prabhu.
Hey, Krishna. Thank you so much for coming this morning and giving class.
Hare Krishna.
Well, my first question has to do with the opposition to, when we criticize different types of people, it creates an opposition.
Opposition. If you criticize people, it will create opposition, yes?
So, in general, people, they're endeavoring to enjoy life.
Yes, people are trying to enjoy life, yes.
They consider that normal.
That is normal, yes.
And when they see someone like you, shaved head, given up everything, no money, all that, they think, this man is advocating a morbid life of self-denial.
Self-denial, yes.
Morbid life of self-denial. He's giving up his family, he's giving up his occupation, and in the name of some spirituality, he's nothing but a social parasite.
Social parasite, yes.
He just comes to collect money and speaks a few things and tells everyone they should be giving up their families and all of this, and then he goes away with our money.
He's just begging for money, okay?
So that's my question. People have this idea, that we are advocating a life of self-denial. For example, Fox 4 News brought a reporter. She came here for the morning program one day. And she said that the devotees resemble ghosts, morbid ghosts.
The devotees are like ghosts, and they are morbid
from their
people.
Houses.
They're very not nice people, etc., etc. So how do you answer them? That
no,
is
he said that devotees look like ghosts coming from their house in the early morning.
So you are describing all this, the bad things that some people may be thinking about.
And she said she sat here and she chanted with us during the japa period, and she said she never experienced...
That is very natural, Prabhu.
Never experienced something more boring.
To be expected, this is very natural, and there's nothing surprising about it, that when you are, not you in particular, but when somebody is in a material world, absorbed, and going through the pangs of material nature and pushed around in the material whirlpool, and at the same time also trying to enjoy. Just like a frog is trying to enjoy and trying to catch an insect while he's in the mouth of the snake. There's an example of a frog. The frog is already in the mouth of the snake. He is going to be devoured, swallowed up, alive. And he's trying to catch an insect with his tongue. So this is the reality of the material world. Also, there is the example of the slaughterhouse where the animals are going inside the slaughterhouse on the belt. And there is grass they're eating, they're enjoying the grass. Unaware, they totally don't know that in few minutes they will be slaughtered and killed mercilessly, very cruelly. They can't figure it out. So this is what is going on. So when somebody, and millions of people are in this situation, they can't understand the material nature, how birth after birth is slaughtering them. Birth after birth, not just one birth. And when somebody tells them that, sir, there is a way to get out of this slaughterhouse. There's a way to get out of this prison house. You are imprisoned. And I have found a way. And I can help you. Would you be interested? He says, stay away from me. I'm not interested. Here is the book. You take this book and this will solve all your problems. And he says, stay away. I don't want the book. Why? Because he is covered over and he's convinced that this grass that I'm given, this is very nice grass. Never mind, I'm going to be slaughtered in a few minutes. I'm eating the grass. Why are you stopping me? Why are you bothering me? I'm eating the grass right now. So this is the animal thinking. So it is a very rare thing if somebody can come out of this kind of holocaust. Somebody can come out of this kind of a bad situation and understand the reality that this material world is not a nice place. I have experienced miseries in this life. People have given me trouble. People have cheated me. People have done so many things to me. Now I understand the reality of this material world, that this is not a nice place, and I have to find a way to go to my home, back to Godhead, which is the nice place, which is the place of enjoyment, the real enjoyment. So I should just put some time, some effort to figure it out and to take advantage of this offer. This offer is very rare, very rarely available. So devotees are the most munificent people. The followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, they are the most merciful people, and they're doing the favor. But people, what they're going to give you in return, they're going to kick you. They're going to spit on you. They will insult you. They can do humiliate. So Lord Krishna, we already gave these instructions to Uddhava and to all of us. You have to learn to tolerate these insults, humiliations, all of these things. You have to tolerate and keep going with your mission to save people from these calamities, from this suffering that they are going through. So never mind people don't appreciate you. You don't expect people to appreciate you. Even your neighbor, he may not appreciate you. He may think, what kind of useless person, you are a burden on the society. You are a parasite. You are a parasite, etc. He may think you're a useless fellow. Go get a job. Why you are distributing these useless books? What it will help? They don't know that what is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. They have no idea. So they cannot appreciate your good effort. But you have to, just like Prabhupada, he struggled all his life in India up to 70-year age. He went to cities and towns everywhere. He would give Bhagavad Gita class to people, different places. He would go on the street and he would distribute his Back to Godhead. He would distribute his magazine, his books. Nobody was interested. Nobody wants it. But did he lose his enthusiasm, his determination? No. He got more enthusiastic. As people rejected him more, he became more enthusiastic, more determined. And finally, he ended up in America, and same thing happened. Nobody wanted him here also. Only the hippies, they came, they agreed to sit down with him. Because they were under the influence of the drugs, so they didn't know. They had no idea who they were with. But they got the benediction, and many of them, they became very great devotees. They gave up their drugs, their alcohol, their cigarettes, all the bad habits went away. Simply by eating the prasadam that Prabhupada cooked, they were becoming pure devotees. By just taking the prasadam, what to speak of, listening to his kirtans, his Hare Krishna chanting, listening and reading his Bhagavad Gita and Krishna book. They were becoming pure devotees. So, this is the result of association of pure devotee. And when you go out and give a book to people, this is what you are giving. You are giving Prabhupada, you are giving Krishna to them. They may not appreciate it. And, you know, there are many examples. But some of them, they become lucky and they even spit on you and they remember, oh man, I remember I used to spit on you when you were doing Harinam Kirtan. I was in the college campus and I was sitting on the wall and you guys were coming with the cymbals and mridangas and chanting and I was spitting on you. And now I have become a devotee. So that there are examples like that. People, they hate you in the beginning, but they end up becoming devotees. So it is like a loving mother who is taking the kicks from the child. The child is throwing up, passing stool, urine on the mother. Never mind. She is my baby. So the mother is very kind to the baby. So similarly, the sadhu, the saintly personality, the devotee who goes out and distribute books, who goes out and Harinam Kirtan, he becomes very kind-hearted and he does not mind taking the abuse of the people. All right? So you have something to add, Prabhu?
I wanted to ask about tolerance. You mentioned tolerating people, you know, insulting us.
That's the
us.
Instructions we are getting from Krishna himself, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even he is putting more emphasis on that.
You know, well, my first question is to do with the tolerance. Now, I know Radhanath Maharaj has got this famous quote that tolerance means to focus on a higher principle. I was wondering if you could explain that. How are we able to tolerate, all of this type of social conflict, you know, in the name of devotional service? I mean, you know, how is the devotee able to go on in the face of so much opposition? I was going to give you this Nobel laureate in science today.
One point, yeah, that you mentioned. First of all, Radhanath Maharaj, he made this very great point, and I am no authority to actually explain because he is so advanced in knowledge and devotional service. So, I tell you that what Radhanath Maharaj said about tolerance, that is 100% correct. That much I know.
But how do you do that? That's my question. You know, focus on.
You develop tolerance by, you can do it by different ways. One way to think about it is that Prabhupada told us, or my Guru Maharaj, he told me that you tolerate all these inconveniences and keep going, keep on preaching and practicing Krishna consciousness. Do it. So that is the direct instruction of the Guru. So therefore I must do it, whether I like it or not. In the beginning your mind may resist. If the mind is not a friend and if the mind is still the enemy, the mind will revolt. But we have to learn how to ignore the mind and take the mind of the Guru, the spiritual master, that he is telling me, so I have to do. That is good for me and I must do it. That is my mission. He is telling me to tolerate, so I will tolerate. Or you can think that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says tolerate. Trinadapis, his tolerance is the topmost. So his instructions also, I must follow. So thinking that way also you can tolerate. And then there are many other ways you can develop. This is the best quality of tolerance. You can see example after example. You can see it in case of Prabhupada, how much he tolerated. Prabhupada said one time, I'm tolerating you. Why can't you tolerate the other devotee? Because devotee was complaining that I can't take him anymore. He's just too much, Prabhupada. But Prabhupada said, I'm tolerating you. Why you cannot tolerate him? So, tolerance is a jewel, is the most important item. And that's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions it first, to become humble and tolerant in the Sikshashtakam. Tolerance is a quality that comes over the period of time. It may take some time. Because when you are young and energetic, you don't want to tolerate anything. I can't take anything. Even I can't do Ekadasi fasting. I'm becoming too hungry. I can't tolerate the hunger pangs. How can I tolerate other people? Very difficult for me. So tolerance in the young age is a very rare thing, and it's a very highly appreciable quality. If you are young and you are tolerant, that means you are a very great devotee of Krishna. When you are old man, you have no choice but to tolerate, because you know there is no other way. I have to tolerate. There's so many things that, practically speaking, everything will go against you when you are old man. So you have no choice but to tolerate all kinds of negative things in life. So tolerance is not a very great thing. But tolerating on behalf of the spiritual master for his mission, tolerating inconveniences, tolerating people, bad people, and try to distribute Krishna consciousness in spite of all different difficult challenges, that is the greatness of the devotee. So Radhanath Maharaj is a great devotee. There are many great devotees like that in our movement. And they are showing the example. Just like Prabhupada, he showed his example of tolerance. So similarly, these great devotees are showing. We can learn from them. We can learn from six Goswamis of Vrindavan. How much tolerance is there? What kind of tolerance? They are exemplary in these qualities. In humility, in tolerance, etc. So there is no scarcity of learning. If you want to learn, there are many examples. But the main thing, I think, is the order of the spiritual master. Because my spiritual master is ordering me, so therefore I must do it. Okay?
You know, in this group of verses, we've been instructed about vanaprastha and sannyas. So two examples. One example that comes to my mind is Srila Prabhupada. It seemed that Prabhupada was intolerant of his wife. His wife took his manuscript and she sold it in a market.
Prabhupada was not intolerant of his wife. He tolerated his wife all his life, and he not only tolerated, but he provided everything, all kinds of luxuries to his wife and children. He took care of them very nicely until the age of 50. Then his spiritual master came in the dream and he ordered him to come out of the house and take vanaprastha and sannyas. So therefore he followed the order of the spiritual master. But otherwise, he was very, very, he was a very good example of a family householder, grihastha. He was not intolerant. I don't think that, like that at least.
Well, we have that dialogue from the Prabhupada Lilamrita where Prabhupada said, it's either tea or me.
No, that was
and the wife
after,
says, no, I'll take the tea.
That was after he got the instruction from his Guru Maharaj that now my Guru Maharaj is calling me. I have to go. So therefore, then he decided that now this is the end of my family life. I can't do it anymore because my Guru Maharaj does not want me to be in the family life. I have to do something else. I have to go into vanaprastha. So he was always following his Guru Maharaj, instruction of his Guru. He is the best example of how to follow the order of the spiritual master. So there is no question of intolerance on the part of Srila Prabhupada.
You keep connecting Prabhupada to his faith and his commitment to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, his Guru Maharaj, as the you know, criteria. It's the foundation for his spiritual life. And
that should be the foundation for every devotee. That is the criteria. That is the only criteria. That when we take initiation, we are dedicating our life to the order of the spiritual master. There's no other criteria.
So my question has to do with, you know, when we look at the example of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it's flawless. But when you ask us today to have faith in one another, for example, we have spiritual masters, and I'm not saying everyone, there are many gurus that have been, you know, exemplary in every way, but we've had gurus that fall down, or even one another. You know, we've done so many things. And, you know, that I don't even want to mention. And then, and yet,
no, we're being told
you should have faith in this person.
No, we take the right examples. We don't take the wrong examples. Just like here Krishna is saying, take the right example. Don't take the example of the tarkic false logicians. Don't take the example of the Vedavadarata. Don't take the example of the atheistic people. All of these people, stay away from them. So, even when you become devotee, you will come in contact with so many people. So you don't have to follow the wrong examples. No. Even if your mind says, follow the wrong guy. No. You reject that proposition from your mind. You always follow the right example. You follow the example of your spiritual master. You follow the example of Prabhupada and the disciplic succession. You follow these examples. You don't follow take somebody's mistake and take it as the mission of your life. He made a mistake, so I must make that mistake. No. That is not
the way. My question has to do when we're being told to put faith in one another or faith in an authority, you see, it seems that our faith is broken. We're very hesitant to follow that instruction because, you know, yes, materially we've had so many bad experiences, but even within the movement,
faith is not
even
broken.
Within the movement,
faith is never broken by wrong examples. Faith is never broken by, that is an excuse. Faith can never be broken by wrong examples. If you don't have faith, then you can come up with so many arguments and you can try to justify your own wrong decision or wrong behavior. I am making the wrong decision because of him. He treated me bad, so I'm treating him bad. What is wrong with that? So that is the wrong approach. That is not the right approach. Or he's giving the wrong example, so I must also give wrong example. No. That is not the way to go. The way to go is Mahajana Yena Gata Safa. You follow the right examples. You follow the best examples. You follow the spiritual master. You follow Srila Prabhupada. You follow these good people. You don't follow bad people. You don't take... And if somebody is trying to break your faith, why do you have to associate with him? Here, Krishna says, don't associate with them. So you avoid them. Rupa Goswami says the same thing. Avoid them. Don't associate with them. Don't believe in their philosophy. You will be misguided. You will be going into a disaster area. So you always stay on course. You stay on the highway. Mahajana yena gata sapanta. Don't allow your mind to go in the direction of wrong people, wrong examples. Always take the right example. Always take the best example. Take that as the standard. So that is what Lord Krishna and all the authorities are saying. So that is faith building. How you build up your faith in Krishna? By following the examples of Mahajana, of the disciplic succession, you build up your faith. Sato vritte. You follow the path chalked out by the great authorities. Don't follow wrong examples, no. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes.
I've been listening to the discussion, and one thing that comes to mind from what you're saying is, you know, you're talking about renunciation and how, you know, certain people might be in that stage where they're ready for renunciation, then they've practiced.
Well, I didn't talk about renunciation.
What I wanted to add was, based on what he's asking.
I didn't talk about any renunciation.
Oh, he's gone now. But what I was going to say was, like there's a lot of criticism with like you know, like say Scientology, like modern cults. And there's a lot of aftermath now, you know, a lot of people that were involved. And one of the things that a lot of the people that are sort of survivors is that they say the same thing was that, oh, you're told, you know, there's many lifetimes and so you have a family and so you have to give them up. And a lot of the people, they felt that, you know, they've been cheated because their whole life you're told, you know, these people are not, they're temporary. So don't put any, don't invest anything there. So what I was trying to, draw was the example of, say, you know, the Pandavas and Mother Kunti, how, you know, they're saying, you know, sever your attachment that's based on the body, but that attachment that's based on the soul, that's eternal. And so, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you dedicate your life, you know, you, like you were saying, the example of Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, he was a proper father, he took care of his family, he was always there materially, and at the same time, you know, when it reached a certain point in his life where he was, you know, which was part of that culture, you know, that was normal to leave your family at a certain age, what I find is that a lot of, you know, devotees, they find a lot of conflict in that, that, you know, it's like, and you see it in relationships, you know, we're very detached when it comes to our relationships to one another.
There will,
you know,
always be conflict in the society, there will always be conflict in the family, in the neighbors, etc. When people get together, no two people are going to think the same way. But what is the standard? Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. What is the right behavior and what is the wrong behavior? That if you go and listen to this fellow, that specialist, that you can never figure it out. So therefore, the Vedas, the Vedic literature and Krishna, they are insisting that you must follow the Mahajana. You must follow the disciplic succession. Acharya mam vijaniyam. You follow the Acharya. Don't follow this man, that philosophy. No. And Prabhupada, he had a policy and he also told the devotees that don't criticize anybody by their name. Even if you find somebody wrong, don't criticize, don't say his name and criticize. You can say philosophically, just like Krishna is saying philosophically, these are the people to avoid. But he's not naming anybody. He's not saying this guy is wrong, that guy is wrong. No. Because if you say somebody's name, then that fellow is going to feel bad. And his followers, they will feel bad also. And they will try to come back to you. And they may try to hurt you, or they will at least try to insult you or do something to you. Because now you have criticized them openly. So Prabhupada says, don't do that. Krishna, he's not doing it, he's saying don't do that. So be nice with everybody. Even when atheistic people came and Mayavadis came to Prabhupada in personal meeting, he treated them very nicely. He gave them gulab jamuns. He was very nice with them. So even though in his books or in his classes he may criticize the philosophies, Krishna is criticizing, he's calling them vimura, totally nonsense, foolish people. But Krishna is not naming anybody in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, all these books. So devotees don't do that. They don't go out and declare war and make enemies. That is not our business. Our business is to find good people and give them these good choices in the form of the books, in the form of the association of the good devotees, in the form of the deities and the temples we have in ISKCON. We are good people and we behave nicely with people. So we don't go into the business of criticizing this man and that man. That's not our business. Here, Krishna, all these verses are exactly saying the same thing, what I'm telling you. He's saying that don't do these things. Don't associate with these people. Avoid them. If you find that somebody is a Mayavadi, you don't have to go to him and tell him, you are a fool, you are a Mayavadi, such a rascal. No, don't do that. Krishna says, don't do that. He says in Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, give this Bhagavad Gita, knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees. Don't give it to the atheist people. Those who are against me, don't give them. Even he tells that. So you can imagine, if you want to follow Krishna, if you want to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you want to follow Prabhupada, we have to, like a lawyer, like a judge, how he is very scrutinizingly examining everything and making his decisions. So we have to become analytical and be very much careful in preaching. You have to be very expert in preaching. So we can learn a lot from Prabhupada, how to preach. We can learn from Radhanath Maharaj, how to preach. From these great devotees, how to become a good preacher. And family life and everything can go on. Doesn't matter if you are a family grihastha, your family life will go on nicely. And still you can be the most wonderful preacher. If you are a vanaprastha, your vanaprastha life will go on nicely. You can still be the very good preacher. If you are a sannyasi, your sannyas life will go on nicely. You can be a nice preacher. It doesn't matter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not like Mayavadi philosophy. You have to be a sannyasi in order to. Otherwise you are a nonsense, according to Mayavad Sampradaya. If you are a grihastha, you are a householder, you are a nonsense. You are wrong. Totally in the wrong direction. You are in Maya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, you are a grihastha, you are very good. You are a pure devotee. If you are worshipping Krishna, you are serving Krishna, you are preaching Krishna consciousness, you are a great pure devotee, you are a grihastha. Grihe tako vane tako sada hari bole tako. Hare Krishna.
Vishwamaprabhu, I wanted to ask a conclusion, and then I had one other question. And the conclusion of all of what you've been saying is that, is it correct for me to understand that you're saying to look at the examples of the previous acharyas and their standards? Look at Haridas Thakur, look at Srila Prabhupada, look, they are the standard of devotional service. And then amongst us, the practitioners of Krishna consciousness, there may be good examples, there may be bad examples, depending on our advancement. So don't become confused if there's a bad example. Always look at the previous
acharyas. If you find a bad example, then the way I look at it is that Krishna, he is gunagrahi. He does not see anything bad in anybody. What to speak of his devotee? His devotee, he says, sadhu eva samantavya. They're all my devotees are sadhus. So when Krishna has such a standard that he does not want to see anything bad in his devotee, I'm not superior to Krishna. I'm not superior to my Guru Maharaj. I'm not superior to anybody. I'm not authority. So why should I see something bad in a devotee? If you see something bad in a devotee, you have to learn how to ignore it. You have to train your mind not to see anything bad in the devotee. The six Goswamis, they never saw anything bad in any devotee. So all of these great acharyas, these great devotees, they are not seeing. Prabhupada is saying, I'm tolerating you, you tolerate him. So all of these examples are there. So even if there is an inclination to see something bad in the devotee, because of our previous sanskaras, we may have a tendency to find fault in somebody, to see bad in somebody. But when you see something bad in a devotee, that the way I look at it is that Krishna is showing me the mirror. This bad thing is inside me, and Krishna wants to show me that, look, you have this problem in you. So you see it in another devotee. Oh, he's doing this wrong. But that wrong thing is actually inside you. You have to purify I have to purify my heart. That is what Krishna is telling me when I see something bad in the devotee. He's not bad. Krishna is using him as an instrument to improve me, to take out the bad quality inside my heart. So the bad things that we see in the world is actually the reflection of our own consciousness. It is nothing bad outside. The outside is only the mirror that Krishna is showing us, that these are the things that you have to take out of your heart.
So my question with this statement is that We also have statements, for example, from Srila Rupa Goswami that there are Kanishtha Adhikaris, there's Madhyama Adhikaris, there's Uttama Adhikaris. It seems that we're being trained to judge. Now, you're saying there's something wrong with judging others, but my question
no,
is
no, I'm
that
not saying something wrong in judging, but I'm saying that I'm not the judge. I'm not judgmental, and I'm not the judge, and I don't want to be the judge. I don't want to apply for judgmentship or anything. I want to be just a nice devotee. So I'm not authority. I'm not authorized to correct anybody. So why should I see, make my business to see the wrong things and try to correct people? If I see, if that duty is given to you, your temple president or your certain authority or your guru, that is your sacred duty to correct your people that work, are working under you. Yes. Because you have willingly taken that responsibility to correct these people. And then you can try to correct them. Prabhupada corrected his disciples. That was his duty. He carried out. So the spiritual master, he does that. I'm not authority for anybody. Why should I take it upon me?
Well, here's my question then. For example, what you're touching on to me seems like there's the description of an Uttama Adhikari that only sees himself at fault and sees everyone else as serving Krishna. And then Prabhupada mentions how the Uttama Adhikari even comes down to the Madhyam platform and makes distinctions. For example, Prabhupada openly and very strongly, I was just watching a recorded lecture of Prabhupada, and he's yelling at this Mayavadi, yelling at him. Telling him that he's a rascal, telling him that he's a fool.
In certain instances, when somebody was crossing his limits, very rarely Prabhupada did it. He did that when somebody crossed his limits. If you challenge a devotee like Prabhupada or any good devotee, if you challenge him, then it becomes his duty to answer your challenge. Then he's duty bound. But you don't make your business to go out and find faults. At the same time, Prabhupada didn't make his business to go out and find wrong people and yell at them. If somebody came to him and he just made his business to blaspheme Krishna or blaspheme devotees or do something nonsense very bad, then he would challenge him, yes. He would yell at, yes.
So then my question is, like, if we're not to see the bad, anything bad, we're only supposed to see the good. I know there's an example by, I think it's Gopal Bhatta Goswami of the six Goswamis, that he would never hear anything bad about a devotee. But when we see things, for example, like this massacre in Las Vegas. Now, if somebody says, well, if I'm not supposed to see anything bad, that means that that man was not bad.
No, bad people are bad. If somebody's shooting 60 people, killing 60 people, shooting 600 people, of course we know that he's a bad guy. He is a criminal. So you don't go and make your business. This is what Krishna is telling in today's verse. You don't make it your business to go find these people. Just avoid them, he's saying. And don't become like them. This is the today's verse, exactly. There are plenty of bad people. And you can see them, yes, so avoid them. Don't make it your business. Your business is to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. That is your priority. Your business is to follow the instruction of the guru. So just follow. If your guru said that go out and find the bad people, of course then, that's a different thing.
But, for example, we've been sued in our movement. For example, we've had devotees, initiated devotees involved in child molestation or even other activities.
Yeah, there were bad cases, and there's a whole mechanism. If you are part of that mechanism, if you are part of the child abuse
But
team,
if you're supposed to see that, no, that's just
team,
my
if
reflection.
If you're part of the, whatever is the committee or whatever is the arrangement, put forward to stop the nonsense that may be going on, and you want to become part of it, yes, it's very good. That is your natural inclination. You like to do that, and it's a very authorized thing, so you do it. No problem. But otherwise, if you are a regular devotee, you have no business. You see that bad thing is happening, you just report it to the proper authority. You tell whoever is in the child abuse prevention team, you just, you know, tell them that this is what I notice is going, something is going wrong, so I'm bringing it up to you, and you are done. You don't make it your business. Or you become the part of the team and you make it your business. You have two choices.
But see, my question has to do with when you see examples. For example, you see something that may be a personality disorder. Somebody's always getting angry at other devotees. Now, you're saying earlier, you were saying that you should just see this as your own faults. You know, and that's why you're seeing it in others. You see somebody, he's abusing so many other people, but you're saying that just see that as their, as your own fault, and you're just seeing it in them, and
that
actually you should be,
so you see, your,
but wait, let me finish this. So you see the child abuse, so you're saying, oh, that's
to,
actually my fault.
That
being
is one way to correct yourself, that you see something, some devotee doing wrong, then you understand that Krishna is showing you the mirror, that this bad quality is hiding inside you, and you cannot see your own fault, because I'm always thinking, I'm the great personality, I'm the great devotee, I'm the self-effulgent person, nice devotee, how can I have any fault? So that is a blind spot everybody, all of us, most of us have. We can't see our own fault. So Krishna says, that's okay, you can't see your own fault, I'll show you. See, that devotee is doing wrong. So this is Krishna's way. Sometimes he can do like that. So when he does that and you want to take a lesson, then you can. It's your choice. And if you don't want to take a lesson, then Krishna is not going to go over time with you. He has many ways to correct you. So this is one of the methods he can do it.
I see. So if I see fault in somebody else, that's Krishna. He's trying to say, hey, look at, he's got that fault. You also have that fault. Even you have worse faults. So, you know, in other words, I mean, to me, it kind of like, you can't really preach with that mentality.
If you can't take that way, it's optional. It's not mandatory. This is, no acharya has said, nobody has said that this is mandatory. They have cited this. They have given these examples. They have put it in practice in their lives. They have shown how to do it, but it's not mandatory. You don't have to do it. Krishna has many ways to make you a pure devotee. So this is just one of the ways.
Can you give a verse?
It is not the only way.
Can you give a verse that if you see a fault in someone else, that means you have that fault and you need to correct it? Do you know any verses that support that?
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said that I welcome my criticizers. They are my best many. I don't like the people who praise me, but those who criticize me, say bad things about me, they are my well-wishers, they are my best friends. So you see the example right there. Okay, Prabhu, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki,
Vishwambar Prabhu ki,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.